19, 20, 21 year olds. And part of what the Lord showed me, said, man, you gotta have some energy, some enthusiasm in the tank when you're communicating with that younger generation. But you know what? We all should be drunk at heart. Hello, amen. Amen. That's just really an attitude. I love the way my mother put it. You know, she lived to be 86. She said, baby, don't let them get old with shoes and clothes. She was young at heart until she left you. So I want to encourage you with that. You know, as a former athlete, you're sitting thinking, you've got your favorite team, but do you give thought to the process of what it takes to win championships? As a chaplain, I've been with Coach Saban. He's been to 9 national championship games and won 6 of them. I want you to give that thought for a moment. I mean, this man has won more championships than institutions. I'm talking about greatness. And when I use that term, I like to talk to men. What you need to understand is you're made in the image of God.
Amen. Come on.
He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then all the power you need to become what God had in mind when he created you, for that to be fulfilled.
Woo! Come on.
Amen. Amen. Now I don't play with that, man. One of the reasons, because I've just met some men in my life at an early age that helped form and shape my thought process. We want to help elevate your thought process today. This weekend is about elevating your thought process. As a man is me, so is it. So what we want to do is elevate your thought process.
Come on.
This is how I talk to our team. I don't need that as a greater motivator or greater. We know that Jesus. He didn't take on the assignment. Hold on.
Amen. Well, I reckon we can. You reckon we can be no more today?
Yes. We'll have respect for the other team, but guess what? But man, I'm doing everything in my power. When you get through playing me, you're gonna know you played with somebody.
Amen. Come on.
I've got 3 sons bigger than me. You know, I still train with them. I said, where am I? I said, hey, well, Pops, why you be doing this? I said, man, because if y'all ever think about fighting me, I said, now you might whoop me, but you don't even get a fight. Amen?
Amen.
So I just learned, and I met greatness in 1979. I met a great man. And I'm not just talking football. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. I shared yesterday. I said we did an event in 2021, and we had all of the first African Americans to play at the University of Alabama. We did an event in Birmingham, and we invited them back, and we had a panel. Paul Feinbaum was the MC, and he brought these guys up on stage, and they just started talking about Coach Bryant, about the first blacks that played at the University of Alabama, and all of them said the very same thing. What I'm saying today, he loved us.
Amen.
With a Christ-like love. Wilbur Jackson, the first to sign, 1970. Coach Bryant loved me. John Mitchell, the first black to play. Coach Bryant loved me. And you know, the picture is, when you look at the picture, you think, well, man, that's just an old Southern white guy. He sure had to be prejudiced. You just look at his picture. And he was just the
opposite.
You know how great he was? Coach Saban is being blessed. I'm a disciple. I'm a former player. I'm a Coach Bryant. I'm serving Coach Saban's team. Coach Saban's right-hand man is a black guy named Cedric Burns. This wasn't even in my notes. Feel like I need to see it. Yeah. When you watch games, you watch Alabama games, black guy, about 58 years old, that's his right hand. Matter of fact, I call him the cupbearer because he keeps a little powder in his cup. He cooks that right hand, and it's all in it. When Coach Red Ford breaks, he just goes, walk around the locker room, pregame, this is what Stan does. And you know what? He does it with class. He does it with character, dignity. He's a servant. When I was there, he was 17 years old, and he walked in the door. He cleaned our rooms. Coach Bryant hired him. Called him in one day. High schooler. Was a six-time national championship coach taking interest in a guy that cleans the bathrooms. I'm giving you a little insight now on greatness.
Yes, sir.
Sir, he's one of 10 people in his family. What's your dream, son? He's got to meet one-on-one with Coach Bryant. Would you do that if you were a six-time national championship coach? Would you take the time out for somebody to mop your floors? Jesus would.
Amen. Come on,
tell me. Wonder why you might be missing greatness. I'm giving you some things here. All of us can take. Put Bryant said on good old hot August, men, just get a little bit better. You know what it's all about this weekend? That right there. I look at that, Brother Ed, good old hot August, about 7 weeks or 2 days, rigor mortis set in on your body. When you say it in your mind, I can't take another step. He do that right there. And I look at that. And guess what I say? I can do that.
Yes, sir.
After 4 years, guess what that turned into?
Great.
All American. Great. Amen.
Great.
Amen.
So when you leave here, what's your game plan? Just get a little bit better. As a father, as a husband, as a co-worker, as a brother, as an uncle, as a grandfather. Just get a little bit better. One day at a time. Be where your feet are planted. Where are your feet today? Right here. Be where your feet are planted. That's what you have to tell players. They get to run it. It transcends our ethnicity. by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And as his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to what? Life in God.
Yes.
He's given to us what? Everything we need that pertains to life in God. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I said that Brother Ed, you know what I was doing today, this morning? Gaining knowledge. Brother Ed, was God was using this point, were you gaining some, did you have your tank open? You was just getting filled up. See, the Holy Spirit was speaking through it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Hey, you're not going to play at 5'9", my size, in the NFL if you don't know some stuff. I had to know my stuff, Brother Tim. You know what I decided? Nobody's going to know it like me, baby. Nobody. So guess what? I put that extra in.
Yes, sir.
Coach Brown would say sometimes, man, you get a little bit extra. You know, just give a little extra today. You know what this weekend you decided to do? You give a little extra. You care this morning. Hell, amen. Could have been fishing. Could have been, I don't know. Well, a whole lot of things we could have been doing. So you know what we need to do? We need to applaud ourselves right now.
Your team 3 games.
one morning. I got a bad attitude, don't want to go do it. Jocks in Birmingham. I do the interview. Lord, so you had a bad attitude. Oh, Lord, I forgive him, Father. I sacrificed. I'm right. A week or so late, I got a letter from a gentleman from Ringo, Georgia. I ain't never heard of Ringo, Georgia. Right. And then you drive from Ringo to Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's how close Ringo, Georgia is. I heard you on Jocks. And the Lord spoke to me, told me I'm supposed to support your ministry at the University of Alabama. Hey, I need to let you know, I'm not a University of Alabama graduate. I'm a University of Georgia graduate. This is my number. Will you please call me? I would like to have lunch with you. He didn't just write a letter. He put a check in there for $5,000.
Come on, Professor.
Don't you know I called him? I drove to Chattanooga, so we get there. I go to his office. He says, what do you need? But I caught him off guard. But. He says, let me tell you why I'm doing this. God spoke to me. He says, I'm a businessman. My company went bankrupt X number of years ago, and I vowed to God, whatever ministry he wants me to support, when he spoke to me on it, I would do it. And I sat there, and he wrote another check out for like four times what that first amount. Bam! He says, that ain't all I'm doing. He says, the Lord told me I'm supposed to support you every month with a check.
Hallelujah.
And brother, this has been pretty much the majority. This man has been our partner in our ministry. And he gives more to this our ministry than people make in a month. Every month. Brother Ed, we went through COVID. Nothing changed. You know what doing? We didn't lose not one partner. Brother Tim.
God be
faith! People that are men and women of faith. I pray you believe in that man, your faith take is just you gotta live it more. You gonna believe God for a little. I need to share that with you. And I'm talking about, man, it's been 15, 17 years, this man, I'm just counting. He's been supported. Hey, miss, not one month. So I don't have to be, I'm not, so when I go to the University of Alabama and I'm sitting before, hey, when I open up this word, I'm a man of faith. Mm-hmm. I sit, you talk about trouble. When God opened that door, I was in a place of trouble. But I was standing on that word.
Amen.
Standing on it. I was involved in a situation where I was fired, brother. That, hey, we're going to let it go. I ain't got no resources. Financial, what are you going to do? Six children in a private school. $30,000 a year in tuition. My wife and I sat at our kitchen table. We prayed to the Lord. He said, don't change nothing. Amen. I'll prove who I am. Woo! In the midst of your financial trouble. Watch and see. And we just... Boy, God spoke it. I'm telling you, first day of honor, I'm finna take every damn one of them out of the private school. I coached at this school where I was going. $30,000 a year. Shook me, bro. In the natural, that's the first thing. I'm finna get cut. This doesn't change nothing. Look how true I am.
That's right.
You gotta know the great I am.
That's right.
In the midst of your trouble, in the midst of it, from yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's 9 years between the youngest and the oldest. My oldest was a senior that when God started that process and he saw all six children. God just raised us up out of that finance. I was on campus at the University of Alabama. Brother, there's some days I've got out there $2 in my pocket, brother. He said, you go preach that gospel like you got 10 million. Mm-hmm. He said, God. And you preach it like you're the richest man in town. Can I share something with you? When you have Jesus, you got the greatest.
Amen.
Yes, man.
You can't get no richer.
Amen. Amen.
You act like you're broke.
Come on.
Can you think of anything greater? So he said, you preach that. The boy, I was going down there. I'm hurting. I'm crying all the way down to the time to walk through them doors. But whoo, it's time to report to duty now. So get your smile on. Get your game face on, son. Preach this word for these college students. Woo!
Yes, sir.
We preach faith. Like I kept thinking who the great theologian was, said, you know how we talking about the Bible? Jesus, he said, the Bible, how you defend? He said, man, like you would a lot. Just open up the cage and let it out. That's all we know. This weekend. Let it out. Amen.
Yeah.
Let it out. I'm telling you. So you know what? At 5 now, I took my faith on the field. I took it in the athletic arena. You take it everywhere you go. The just shall live by faith. That's your foundation. Yes. And he said, we add to it. So I started yesterday. Add to it virtue. Give you another word today, perseverance, if you're looking on the second piece. How about perseverance? You find that in verse 6. To knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, God. How about perseverance? This is where I got on. That says in the New Testament, the characteristics of a man perseveres is he's not swerved by his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. A man that's willing to be persevered. Well, it's faith before it helps you persevere.
That's right.
Under what? Under the trial.
That's right.
In the trouble. When the trouble comes, are you willing to persevere? When the trouble comes, are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to stay in that place? You know, God spoke to us about that situation I was in where I got released from. It didn't happen overnight. It was time. Days went by. Months went by. Years went by. But what you can know is God is faithful.
Right, all the time.
My youngest son, who was at that time about 14, is now 31. So he was a freshman in high school. And you, man, I'll tell you what, and God has raised him. He was the last one to play at the University of Alabama. He walked on at the University of Alabama. He didn't get a scholarship like I was to sons. He had on a scholarship offer. We sitting in the, I was counseling as a father. I said, son, what you want to be under is great leadership. I said, I can't think of greater leadership than Coach Nick Saban. But dad, they ain't offered me no scholarship. You know how ego can come into play, right? And he had some Division I scholarship offers. Auburn was one of them. He says, we'll walk on it. And he walked on. And I said, son, we'll pay for it. We pay for it. Why am I telling you this story? Because faith. We add these things personally. All the things that we talk, virtue, knowledge, self-control, start with faith. It's the foundation. It's your love relationship with Jesus. Everything that we ought to be for God, love relationship. Without love more to say. Amen?
Amen.
So because we didn't know it at that time, but 10 years later, because in his resume, he was on the 2011 and 12 national championship team, he has done an audition for the CBS show NCIS Los Angeles. It gets the producer's attention. They fly him from Birmingham to Los Angeles to read for the show, and before the day is over, he's hired.
Amen.
He called and said, "Dad, I got the job." Y'all said, "I believe I got the job." I said, "How you know so quick? After you read all this?" He said, "Because they don't talk to you after you audition." Producer called me and says, "You played that album back?" "Yes." "2011 and 12 national champion?" "Yes." "And you want to act?" "Man, you must really love this." And he signed it for 3 years. He just finished the fourth season.
Amen.
You know what I love to tell men? Faith works.
Amen.
And it'll give you the strength to stay in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Yeah. When the circumstances, man, you can give up. Mm-hmm. When the circumstances, man, that's insurmountable. Mm-hmm. No, faith says it's obtainable.
Yes.
That's how I played, brother. Mm-hmm. And I saw God come through time after time,
yes.
Game after game.
Yeah.
How about godliness? How about reverence, respect towards God, holiness? God says, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." Respect. What are we losing in our culture today? A respect and reverence for God.
Mm-hmm.
You scorn it. You laugh at it if you have a reverence and respect for God.
Amen.
"I don't need God. I'm a man." "No, you a fool." You know, in athletics, it teaches you, you can have it today, it's gone tomorrow. Oh yeah, you can be great today, one injury, you no longer can play again. You know what we're teaching our guys? University of Alabama, godliness. I get the awesome opportunity to sit with the greatest athletes in the world in college football, and I can talk to them about godliness.
Amen.
Virtue.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know what? With every championship team we've had, guess what we've had? Godly men on that team. Matter of fact, that's why we won the championships.
Amen.
Because the little old chaplain ain't scared to tell her about being virtuous. Ain't scared to, you know, you mad at these big old guys, huh? Hey, I ain't scared to talk to you about God. I ain't scared to talk to you about virtue. God wants you to wait, man.
This is what the word says.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Woo! How about brotherly kindness? We get the word Philadelphia from that, don't we? You know what we had an awesome chance to do this weekend? Show brotherly love.
Amen.
Brother Ed, would you come up here? I didn't even know, he don't even know. Come up here, Brother Ed. I need to, Lord, just focus. We're going to demonstrate something right here. Amen. Brotherly love. Let me hug you. Brother, I love you. When I ain't known you, I love you. I thank God for your ethnicity.
Thank God for yours. It's awesome.
The first man, Brother Ed, to tell me he loved me was of your ethnicity. I was about 19 years old at the University of Alabama. You know, it didn't matter, Brother Ed, who would have said Jeremiah Castile needed to be here. And that man is still in my life today.
Amen.
He lives in Birmingham.
Amen.
And that man poured into me for 3 years at the University of Alabama. And grew me up. But a little poor black boy from Phoenix City, Alabama needed to hear that he was loved.
Amen.
Love you, brother. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, wasn't somebody black from the hood? my soulish man in hearing that. I love you, brother. You find somebody you don't know today. Mm-hmm. Somebody different ethnicity. Man, you walk up, you give them a promise, man, I love you. Like a man. Like Jesus would do it. When Jesus was a Jew and he met different Gentiles in his name. Amen.
That's right.
What did he demonstrate?
Love.
Love. Everybody here wasn't Jewish. Here, where it went, well, hey, your brother, brotherly, doesn't matter. It matters to God. And I believe this is what the heart cry of God is in heaven. When am I sure we're going to get it together? Start demonstrating some Philadelphia. Some brotherly love, brotherly kindness toward one another. Woo! This last word. Look at that verse. Verse 7. To God and his brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness. What? Love. That's the word of God for you. Unconditional. Let me ask you, is your love conditional? If it is, you need to get a little bit better.
Amen. All right.
You need to get a little bit better in love. Let me share with you. I'm going to close with it. Go to Romans. Go to Romans 8. Really, let me close with this. See, when you get this, I call it down in your spirit, man, your Lord, in your spirit, man. Woo! When you get, when you see, when I experience the love of Jesus, man, it trumps everything else. Mm-hmm. It trumps the trouble. Not that you're feeling happy, the effects of it, but if you start realizing, man, God trumps that. Yep. His love, amen? Go to chapter 8 with me real quick. Now, I'm going to start in verse 7, 37. Listen to what it says. Yeah, in all these things, we are more than what? You're more than a conqueror. Woo! Through who? Him who what? Loved us.
Amen.
Growing up in a home, poor, black, parents with a fourth grade education. Drugs, domestic violence. Father had PTSD from World War II. Mother would get drunk and abuse you physically. Get ready for camp. of us will probably need to do some spiritual push-ups today. That's what this has been all. This has been camp this weekend, ain't brother? Yeah. This has been camp. Close with this, brother. Take all of what God said right here, 2 Peter, what brother Ian said, and just get a little bit better. That's my goal. I just want to get a little bit better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As a man of God. God's called you to greatness. Say again. He loves you and I enough. He's called you to do great things. In the kingdom now. Not what the world called greatness. In the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Thank you all, Brother Tim. Thank you for letting me be with you all. God bless you.